Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
It is 9:08 here on SENZ. We welcome you into the show and we welcome in our first guest for the morning as well. It's Jay Campbell. He's the CEO of Hawke's Bay Rugby, and unfortunately for Jay, his job isn't tough enough with rugby at the moment. Had to deal with a really ugly incident. Outrageous, unacceptable, disgusting, appalling, and quite frankly, ended up being bloody dangerous. It wasn't rugby's fault as such, particularly the latter half of it, but rugby is being associated because you look at the headline, it was about a game of rugby gone sour. And so that is the kind of thing that they have to deal with, and Hawke's Bay had to deal with it this time around. So Jay, good morning to you. Not a happy start to the week, I would imagine.
No, morning, Smithy, and thanks for having me. Yeah, look, mate, you summed it up. Pretty disgusted. Oh, what I would say is, you know, the referee has given his report, and it was a fantastic game of rugby. You know, close, tough, uncompromising, played in really good spirits, probably what you'd expect from a senior third game. And actually, contrary to speculation, there was little to no aggro on the field. So it was just a great game of club footy, which we should be celebrating. But unfortunately, yeah, some pretty unsavoury stuff went on.
So, Jay, has it been slightly falsely reported? I mean, there were all sorts of rumours about weapons being drawn at the game itself, people running onto the field and the game being called off out of safety for everybody concerned. So that was not the case?
Well, actually, now it was. But, again, on the field, the game was going really well. But with 15 minutes to go, some of these retrobates decided that they would enter the field. And they wouldn't move. The referee, who I must say, and I won't mention his name, who's an experienced ref, did a fantastic job. He went over and asked them to leave the playing field. They wouldn't, and he had no other option but to abandon the game. Now, while he did a great job, in fact, he did a fantastic job, that's not what they volunteer to do. You know, we're already struggling with referee numbers, and this is the sort of crap they've got to put up with, and it's disheartening, and we've got to put a stop to it.
Right, okay. First of all, refs okay, players, coaches all okay?
Yeah, look, again, and we'll let other people decide, you know, what the club's role was in this. But, you know, we're talking about two proud clubs who wanted to come and play a game of footy. And, no, they are all okay. You know, thankfully we're talking about a near miss as opposed to, you know, someone being injured or, heaven forbid, a fatality, which, you know, could happen. And dare I say it, it could have been somebody actually not involved in the game as well, which would be even worse to be talking about. But I think, you know, I think you guys have mentioned it, but this is a societal issue. It's not a rugby issue. And Smithy, you're in Hawke's Bay, you know there are some growing gang issues in the community and probably around New Zealand. And, you know, the powers that be, the leaders of our country need to stop this, because we can't have this creeping in and spilling into community sport like it has over the weekend.
Well, this is a bit of a double-edged sword for me as far as I'm concerned, Jay, because this could have been an incident anywhere around the country, around Hawke's Bay, between a couple of gangs. They will deny it's gang-related, but there's no other way to put it. It is gang-related. But in a way, the fact that it was associated with a game of sport attributed more headlines and became a little bit more public and gives, I think, in a way, even though you're the ones on the receiving end this time round, Joe Public, a little bit more realisation of just how deep this is running.
Yep, and you're right. Look, and again, one thing I would say is, you know, and rugby has to deal with this often, but it's because people care and it's because people want to talk about rugby. So in that regard, yep, it's rugby related, but you're right, it is something that's basically endemic around the country. And my concern is, you know, this could be netball next week. This could be any sort of action. And And okay, if we've got to take it on, then we need to try and find a solution. And those that are in the, you know, we just deliver rugby, so it's kind of a bit outside our scope. But what it does do is say we've got to make sure and maintain that we can help protect and keep safe our volunteers, our officials, our players, our whānau from any lot this sort of rubbish happening again.
God knows if it happened Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon netball with all the children and families involved around there, and you just saw a gathering like that and turn as rough as hell. Right, so from a rugby union point of view, because there was trouble at the game itself in terms of being called off early, do you have any jurisdiction over this? Do you have a review system put in place about this? I mean, does Tamatea and Roponga, do they have history of bad blood like this?
Oh, look, you know, again, not like this. You know, this is an isolated case, and this is something which is why it's obviously headlines and everything else. However, every club or clubs will have their own, you know, long history of things that happen, and potentially it spills over. But this is the next level. This stuff, you know, we're starting to talk about things that are, you know, this is capturing global headlines. So I guess from our point of view, what we're doing is we needed to find out facts from speculation, and there's been a whole lot of stuff. So what we did is we got reports from both clubs, from the referee. We got a report from the police, and we quickly worked out exactly what went on. And look, the hosting club let themselves down on a few issues, but that's, you know, again, we are talking about volunteers. However, I've got a duty of care, and they've got a duty to get that right. So what we've done quickly is, after police advice, we have transferred or suspended home games at Tamatea Rugby Club in the short term. And their games will then instead be played at Tremaine Field over in Napier, which is a gated area where police and security can manage entrance and ground control can be adequately delivered. So that's our first priority, is just trying to make sure that people are safe for this week, and then we'll kind of progress through over the coming weeks as to how we can get rugby played back over in the Tamatea Rugby Club in Bill Matheson Park.
Well, I absolutely applaud you for that. That is one hell of a proactive move right from the get-go. Because, you know, we see this, you know, in the United States of America or other countries where people, and we do, we object to being searched at grounds in New Zealand, but we're coming to this point now, if this continues, you're looking at a very public park here, Bill Matheson Park. It's a thoroughfare park. It's one where kids play. It's just right in the middle of a housing, you know, a housing area. It's very, very urban in that respect. So, it's pretty hard to police, mate, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And look, you know, we think that rugby is a place. It should be a safe place. It's where people can leave the woes of the week behind and go down and play. They bring communities together, you know, clubs. And yeah, they might bash each other on the field, but then everybody goes and has a beer and shares a sausage or what have you. And it's a great experience. And that's probably what it's really taken away. It's sort of deflected from a lot of the really good things that are going on. You know, we had 1,100 girls playing a ripper tournament at Hastings Sports Park on Friday. We've got increased numbers again this year in terms of our playing numbers, and it just takes away and detracts from what is, we're really trying hard. You know, rugby's facing some massive challenges, and you kind of touched on a few, but, you know, we've got player numbers, you know, ref numbers, concussion, teenage dropout, let alone all the other stuff that's going on in the front of newspapers at the moment. So, you know, rugby doesn't need this sort of stuff. And so hopefully, mate, we can get our community leaders and our government to try and somehow find a way to, as I say, get rid of these people, because it pisses me off. It shouldn't be happening in our game.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to go for. I mean, there's some very highly respected Māori elders who I feel would be disgusted by this, and they're the exact kind of people that have got to pull this in line if they indeed have any respect from these people or not anymore, because they will be nephews, they'll be sons, they'll be, you know, they'll be relations of some very fine people in our community, and it's just getting out of hand. They're being dictated to by others, and for some reason, it's exploding. You touched on a couple of things, Jay. We'll get away from that, and we won't touch on the governance because, one, you don't want to talk about that, and I don't blame you, and no one really does at the moment. It's pretty hard to find someone that will, apart from Rob Nicol.
Oh, mate, I'm just a wage slave. I leave those for the governor.
We're just ferrets looking for information. You know that anyway. You had to deal with the media. Look, playing numbers, you mentioned that. Now, Hawke's Bay Rugby Union generally over the years has been regarded as one of New Zealand's most powerful. I mean, on the field, certainly that is reflected. But off the field, it's always been regarded as being very healthy. But my question is, it playing numbers across the board?
Yeah, look, it's a struggle. Let's not get away from that fact. It's not easy. But, you know, we've worked really, really hard in our community. The additional funding we've got from New Zealand Rugby, we've got more people out on the grass. We've got coach development managers out working with our clubs and schools. And, you know, the last 3 years, we've had an increase across all of our KPIs, so junior, secondary and senior. Yeah, okay, they're not huge. They're not huge numbers, but they are. And teenage boys has been great for us because it's been a real problem area for a long time. But we're working really, really hard in that space. It's great this year. We've got a team each from Tuamu and Havelock High, which is a change from the last sort of 3 or 4 years where they've had a combined team. And we're working really, really hard with those schools and with the clubs to try and get numbers up. But let's not beat around the bush. Rugby is facing a real identity crisis. And you can understand, you know, when we have lots and lots of stuff in the media around concussion, around, you know, the sort of garbage we had on the weekend. If you're a young parent, you're probably going, actually, is rugby really the choice for my young boy or girl to play? Mm. So we're going to work really, really hard, and I think we're doing a pretty good job. Can we do better? Yes. Can we work harder? Well, we probably work as hard as we can, but we probably work smarter. So those are things we're working on in-house here. We've got a clear strategy of where we want to go. And thankfully, at the moment, we're fiscally really sound. And that allows us to actually get more boots on the grass and people out in the game. And contrary to a lot of stuff that gets talked about, actually there's a lot of really good work that goes on in community rugby up and down the country.
So one of the areas we've had people on before, not just in rugby as well, that have talked about the danger area, the area where you tend to lose players because of other options in life and, you know, activities that don't quite take as much commitment as they do playing serious rugby. What steps are you at Hawke's Bay Rugby looking at here? I mean, you mentioned Karamu High School, you mentioned Havelock, we're having rugby teams again, which is wonderful news. But in terms of first 15s, quality first 15s, and I remember back in the day where college rugby had its own day and everyone had a strong college first 15, you know, from Tialti North, basically, they just kept coming. What is happening at secondary school level, which drifts into Colts sides and numbers and Colts rugby?
Yeah, well, one of the challenges we have in Hawke's Bay is we lose, and it generally fluctuates, but between 38 and 46% of our young men leave the province, right? They go off to university and everything else. So the fact that we've still had, well, up until recently, we've had 8 Colts teams. This year we've got 7. It's still pretty strong, bearing in mind where we're at. But you're right, there are some real challenges in this space. Look, there's no silver bullet. If we could, then we would. And look, rugby's not alone, Smithy. Go across most team sports around the place, and actually the numbers playing post-15 drop because young men and women, they have other priorities now. When you and I were growing up, you played cricket in the summer, you played rugby or football in the winter. And you know, in some schools it was only rugby that was offered. So really, there wasn't a lot of options. Now you can do so many things. And in Hawke's Bay, we're blessed with fantastic weather and lots of facilities. And, you know, we've got niche sports, which are now really, really growing. And it's great to see, you know, the canoe polos of this world, the paddle balls and all sorts of things, let alone jumping on a mountain bike and going for a massive big bike, which, again, You don't need 15 to 18 people. You don't need to train. You just pick up a bike, maybe call somebody, go for 2 hours and then go and have a coffee or a beer. That sounds pretty good, right? So these are the challenges that we face. So rugby has to be, I think, we've got to be really strategic and we've got to look at ways and models of keeping the game relevant. And we're doing some things in around here. We're doing a co-ed 10s later on in the year. We're looking to try and find other ways to get people engaged in the game because, dare I say it, if we keep going and the trends we're going in 10 to 15 years, rugby, and not only rugby, will actually die in this country. So we've got to be really at the front of making sure that we keep the game relevant.
Have they looked at the possibility of playing more college rugby during the week? Because weekends, everyone likes their weekends these days. That's what you were hinting at, basically. Mm. You know, socially and work-wise, for instance. Kids want money, they want income, they want cars at an earlier age. So what do they got to do that? They got to go get a job. And that implies weekend work. Is there, you know, to get people involved in actually playing and interested back in the game, and that's what's going to spark an increase in numbers. Is there thought about playing more during a week, or is there a chat with the schools about that?
Yeah, we are. And look, again, and there are other provincial unions that are doing a great job in this space too. So we've this year, our F and E grades are going to play more games on a Wednesday afternoon. I guess the challenge, of course, is that people do go to school for education, so you can't keep cutting that short. And, of course, with the daylight saving and everything else, by the time you get into the winter, you actually have to have games finished sort of by 5 o'clock before it gets a little bit too dark. So there are some restrictions around that. However, we are looking at doing it. We're trialling it this year. And again, you know, we've got to have schools and we've got to have parents to get on side with it, because ironically, we've got a youth board that was set up, and they really pushed that they wanted to have more games played on the weekend. And then we've kind of gone out, and then we've had parents come back saying, oh, well, I don't really want to take off work at 3:30, and we're kind of trying to remind them it's actually not about you, it's actually about the participants that play, and they want to play. So, yeah, look, mate, there's some really good stuff going on. Some of it will work, some of it won't, but we have to trial it. And, you know, I don't think I'm talking out of turn, that I think a lot of the other codes are trying to do different things too, because we need people playing sport, we need people playing community sport, and it's not about becoming All Blacks or Black Ferns, it's actually about playing rugby, enjoying it, and some of the camaraderie stuff, which is really, really important for society, let alone the codes itself.
Yep, I totally agree with you on that. In terms of, and nearly finished with you, Jay, so you can get on with your day, but this is fascinating, actually. Coverage of the NPC, what are you hearing about that this year? Because that directly impacts on you, particularly as shield holders.
Yeah, look. The broadcasting deal goes through to the end of 2025. So, you know, the next 2 years are sorted. Look, again, you probably want to speak to NZR about that. But, look, my take on it is, like a lot of things that go on, it's always smoke and mirrors. And as I've always said, rugby's more political than politics at times. So I think that you'll find that there will be NPC on TV going forward. You've been involved with Sky for a long time. You would have known in your time that actually NPC is really, really important, because it actually has content, and that needs to be played between August and October, when there is actually not a lot of live content around. So, you know, again, we'll let those people that earn lots more money than I and maybe have a far more grasp on broadcasting to come up with that stuff. But at the moment, mate, we just know that our games will be televised live for the next 2 years. And personally, my own opinion, I think that won't change going forward, because NPC needs to be broadcast and the people want it.
And just finally, you've got a couple of Ramphilly Shield games coming up, mate. Couple of Ramphilly Shield games coming up.
Well, we always talk about there's only one. So we've got to get through King Country, which is coming up in June.
Yep.
And then if we're good enough to beat them, then we play South Canterbury. And then after that, we face Southland. So that's all we're thinking about at the moment. We've got a whole lot of young guys playing club who are going to get a chance to play first-class rugby in June, which will be fantastic for them. And dare I say it, this is a stepping stone for guys to try and put themselves in the shop window for other stuff. And that's where kind of rugby, we always have to remember, club rugby and the community game is basically the concrete boots of what this game's founded on. So those guys have got a lot to play for in club over the next 10 weeks, 8 weeks, and then they'll be involved potentially in Ramphilly Shield games. And then from there, if they're good enough, they then go on and become a magpie during our NPC campaign. So lots of exciting stuff. I know all the provincial unions around the place have all, club rugby's all starting up and everyone's fizzed up and you know, we should be talking about this stuff as opposed to the other garbage that happened on the weekend. So, you know, let's not forget, rugby means a lot to a lot of people, and the club game is really, really critical. So we've got to keep working hard to make sure that it's at the forefront of our game.
Great chat, Jay. Absolutely great chat. I've enjoyed your honesty and openness about that very sensitive issue and the other stuff about the numbers, etc. And I know it's a problem for not just rugby, for sport across the board, but it's one we try and find an answer to almost on a daily basis, even on this station. So, hey, mate, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciated it, and we'll catch up soon, eh?
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.